Several years ago, U.S. politics was embroiled in the so-called birther controversy. The birther controversy. Do you remember hearing about that? The crux of the controversy revolved around the constitutional requirement to be a natural-born citizen in order to run for president of the United States. So I'm out, folks. Don't waste your vote on me. This birther controversy found a new champion recently at Purdue University. Students were discussing the qualification to be president of the United States. It was really pretty simple. The candidate had to be a natural-born citizen and at least 35 years of age. However, one girl in the class immediately started in on how unfair it was to require a candidate to be a natural-born citizen to run for president. In short, her opinion was that this requirement prevented many capable individuals from becoming president. The class was taking it all in and letting her just rant. Finally, she wrapped up her argument by asking adamantly, "And what makes a natural-born citizen any more qualified to lead this country than one born by a C-section?" Yep, these are the bright young minds that roam the halls of higher education in our country. And we should fear for the future of our great nation. Of course, that was all just a joke. But did you know that there was a sort of birther controversy swirling around at the birth of Christianity itself? And that was no joke. At root was the dilemma of whether only those who were Jews could become Christians, or could those who were born in another race or another religion also convert to Christianity? That question may seem irrelevant to us today, where virtually all converts to Christianity are non-Jewish. But realize, it was ripping apart the nascent church in the first century. Back then, the requirement to be a Jew in order to become a Christian was analogous to the requirement to be a natural-born citizen to become the U.S. president. At Pentecost, recorded in the first reading from Acts chapter 2, only Jews and converts to Judaism could thereby become Christian. But by the time St. Paul writes 1 Corinthians, our second reading, which was during his third missionary journey from 53 to 58 AD, he blows away the birther controversy. Kind of like that student at Purdue University did. He said this, "For in one spirit we were all baptized, whether Jews or Greeks." By using the term Greeks, Paul was referring to all non-Jews, all the unchosen people of the world, meaning me and you. In other words, anyone could be a Christian by being born again by baptism, a sort of C-section where the C stands for Christ. You have to be born in the United States to be president of the U.S., but it doesn't matter where you were born to belong to the body of Christ, the church, as long as you're born again by baptism. My friends, I am convinced that Pentecost makes it a priority for all Christians to abort any birther controversy that may remain hidden in our hearts. What do I mean? Well, sometimes we exclude people from emigrating into our own hearts, and we don't extend to them full citizenship in the country that is called Father John Anthony country. That is, we don't love them completely. I'm sure you have heard about the rioting around the country in the wake of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota, last Monday, May 25th. However you may describe his death, it has unleashed a torrent of protests around the country, from New York to California. Lots of people have gotten involved, and some may be taking advantage of the free publicity. Nevertheless, it also unmasks, as we all sit here wearing masks, a demon of racism that has not been entirely exorcised in our country. I would suggest to you that racism is a sort of birther controversy in each American heart. We have to ask ourselves, whom do we allow to be born in my heart and enjoy full rights of citizenship in me? That is my total love and acceptance. Another way Pentecost roots out this birther controversy is in helping Catholics overcome our slowness to spread the faith. You know, we Catholics are notorious for not talking about our faith in public. Have you ever hesitated to make the sign of the cross as you say grace in a restaurant? Don't worry, I have too. At that first Pentecost, however, Peter spoke proudly and publicly about his faith to everyone. Every Catholic should be filled with a desire to convert the whole world to Christianity and Catholicism in particular, like the first apostles. You know, the 12th and the last step of Alcoholics Anonymous is to share the good news of AA with another alcoholic. If an alcoholic does not share that good news, if he does not complete the 12th step, he is still a slave to that addiction. Similarly, the whole world is enslaved to sin, kind of like an alcoholic. But we Christians have been set free by baptism and being born again in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 reads, "For freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." But if we do not share that good news of freedom in Christ with the whole world, then we have not been fully set free and are still slaves, like alcoholics who cannot complete the 12th step. A sort of worldwide birther controversy exists until we have brought everyone to new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, so that they find and enjoy the full freedom of Christ. It's amazing how much time we spend reading about politics and the birther controversy. And it's tragic how little time we spend reading about Pentecost and the rebirth of Christianity. We take great pride in our citizenship in the United States, but we take for granted our citizenship in heaven. As St. Paul explained in Philippians 3:20, "Pray therefore this Pentecost, you will receive a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that you might be on fire for your faith like the first apostles, and tell the whole world about the benefits of a C-section, being born again in Christ." Praise be Jesus Christ.